Well, one of the major impediments that EPA gave us with the E15 approval is a vapor pressure restriction during what we call the summer volatility season. So the summer volatility season for EPA is June 1st through September 15th, and it really applies to reformulated gasoline. So if you were in an area like Chicago or Milwaukee, and you had you didn't meet the air quality requirements, you were forced into reformulated gasoline. And then other states voluntarily stepped into RFG type of requirements with their state implementation plans, their SIP plans. And then, you know, now EPA has given E15 a special volatility restriction. So the restriction is you cannot have more than 9 PSI in E15 during June 1 through September 15 everywhere, not just non-attainment areas. This is everywhere in the United States. There is, you know, essentially no one-pound waiver for E15, unlike E10. So let's put this down, you know, let's dumb this down a little bit. So volatility, summer volatility season, 9 PSI, et cetera. Let's just take Kansas City, Kansas. It's Johnson and Wyandotte counties. Gasoline in that area during the summer must meet a 7-pound RVP requirement. That's the cap because they had air quality concerns. Gasoline in that same area that's blended with 9 to 10% ethanol, it's allowed an 8 PSI requirement. But gasoline with 15% ethanol has to meet the more restrictive RVP because the language in the state implementation plan is restricted to 9 to 10% ethanol blends. So in the remainder of Kansas, where a lot of fuel is sold, E15 must meet a 9-pound cap, while E10 gets a 10-pound cap. Now, if that isn't more confusing, Brandon, we deal with this on a nearly statewide and case-by-case basis, but this is just an example of how regulations and legacy wording sometimes can come around and cause some real impediments to marketplace new fuel introduction. So when we look at E15 and we look at state-level requirements, keep in mind that EPA regulates vapor pressure in the summer, they regulate sulfur, they regulate air toxics, such as benzene and gasoline, but really every other motor fuel quality requirement is a state level requirement. So there are state fuel quality requirements where there'll be wording, such as what the state of Tennessee currently has, and the state of Florida, actually our hosting state here. There's legacy wording that says gasoline shall not contain more than 10% ethanol. And it was really put there not just to ensure that blenders wouldn't put 12% instead of 10%, but it really was just meant to provide guidelines for motor fuel quality, not necessarily intended as a market fuel barrier, except for the state of California. There's fire marshal and safety code. No kidding, we're handling a flammable product in the general public. There has to be safety code and some safety requirements on what is appropriate equipment to handle these flammable products. We've got underground storage tank regulations. Not only did we get the Solid Waste Disposal Act, in 1988 to 1998, where we dramatically improved the integrity of these underground storage tanks. We've got motor fuel tax codes. You know, motor fuel tax revenue is very important to states, especially my home state like Illinois. And then we've got other categories such as the Air Resources Board in California. So when EPA was walking through and going through the E15 approvals, we got together at the RFA and we said, what do we need to do at the state level? So we really did a quick assessment of several states and what their regulations included and what was the wording and whether there were impediments to introducing a fuel like E15 in those states. And this is really what it looked like. Red means there's an absolute hard stop. There is wording in that state's regulations that says gasoline shall not contain more than 10%. In states that were that are colored orange on this map, we really needed to dig into the codes and find out what the wording did state. And states that are colored yellow, we've had an active presence on the ground in that state, looking at regulations, working with the regulators, and helping both an educational process for us on what the codes required and an educational process for them on what this new fuel looked like, what it will and what it will not do to equipment and vehicles. And then states like Kansas, Iowa, and Illinois that have always been very friendly to ethanol. We had very, you know, we had no restrictions to ethanol content in these regs. So in July of 2012, I assembled a team of regulatory experts, and we went to work on eliminating impediments in these states. So this is where we were in July 2012, and this really is where we are today. We really have had major success, major education, and a lot of good partnerships in these state regulators to understand what E15 fuels can do, what blender pumps can do, what E85 can do for their marketplace and their fuel markets. There are some states here, like the state of Missouri, we've got a pretty good discussion going where the state regs say gasoline shall not contain more than 10%, and we've got a rulemaking in the works that looks like it's going to remove that impediment. Randy's going to talk to us about what's happening in the state of Tennessee. The state of Florida closed a comment period on the 11th of February, eliminating the wording that said gasoline shall not contain more than 10%, and specifically recognizing that the EPA has approved E15 as a legal fuel, and therefore the state of Florida is going to follow EPA's lead there.